Okay, let's call the meeting to order for the Board of Public Works and Safety, February 10th, 2020 meeting. Okay, guys, we have approval of the minutes that's in front of you from, that was presented from the council.
I move we approve them as written.
I'll second.
Councilman Dahl and Councilwoman Ash seconded. We have a claims. Do you have any questions on the claims that has been submitted to you guys?
I'll make a motion to approve the claims as submitted.
Second.
Okay. Can we have a reading of the bank statements, please?
Funds in the account as of the end of January, $31,461,122.15. Includes interest, $44,181.07.
We have no donations?
Yes, we do.
Very good.
Okay, we got this, in this month, we received donations, $180 for animal control. The police received $800 check for the SRO car wrap. And Park received their $50,000 check from the United Way for the Longfellow Park playground. Pretty good match, $50,980.
Very good. Okay, discussion approval of the cancellation of outstanding checks that's presented to you. Stacy, you have anything you want to say on these?
Outstanding checks.
Are these the best? These are best. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yes, these are checks that basically stale dated checks. They are written between May 26th of 2017 through December 12th of 2017. And per IC code 511-10.5, we are allowed to write those off, cancel them. And I guess I would need a motion to be able to do that. After 2 years, they are stale dated.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Okay.
Nita's makes the motion and David seconds it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, then that amount seems be a little lower than normal. I mean, don't seem too bad. I think we've had a higher amounts in the past.
$1,386.97.
Very good. Okay. Discussion approval of utility write-offs.
Yeah, we have $31,939.58. These are all accounts or accidents from 2015. The accidents are up this year from normal. We had issued an invoice to NDOT for an accident that was done with a contractor that they had for mowing. It's about $12,000. They are not going to pay that. They said the only way they would pay it is if we issued a tort claim. So we're asking for that to be written off. Our delinquent accounts, and we only have one because it's $3.92. The other ones are over $25, and that falls under our tax offset program that we've started this year. So that amount may go up next year, just because anything that gets kicked back to us, we will ask for a write-off for next year. So
that tax offset program is a wonderful, wonderful deal.
So we're hoping that most of those from 2015 will be, we'll get some money from those folks.
On the breakdown for utilities, should that be the total of $31,000?
No, because of the accidents.
The accident. Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is just for the accounts.
Thank you. I will make the motion.
Nita makes a motion to approve these write-offs. David seconds it. Okay, next we got a request that came to the park board originally from Wesley Jones to close Memorial Avenue from Northeast 21st Street east to 20th Century Drive on Sunday, December 6th at 3 p.m. until approximately 6 p.m. for the annual Travis Burkhardt Foundation 5K run. I guess we told him we had to come to in front of this board to get approval for closing the memorial there around the S curve and to the front gate, just from the front gate down. And then they're going to also have them use the park drive-through, a little area there by the drive-through window to cut through, so for safety reasons, instead of going all the way to the front gate when they make their laps. And it, like I say, it should be just for no more than 3 hours, they think. They're just going to make 4 or 5 laps, whatever it takes to do their 5K, I think. And Mike and Kim Burkhardt's here. If you have any questions for them, they're here to answer any questions on this.
Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, we came in, we told them that I don't have no problem with it for the short time. We'll have to do something. I mean, just let people know coming from Eastside Park Road that it's going to go west. You know, we'll have some barricades out there so they can't go any farther than 20th Century Drive.
I move with Bruce.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second that.
David makes a motion to approve this closure on December 6th, and Nita seconds it. Brian, yes.
I just want clarification on that.
Yes.
Is it going to be a hard close with barricades?
Yes.
In that area?
Just for that area there, for yes. For...
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we thought for safety reasons, they asked and we closed her down for those 3 hours, and we discussed other options, and this is better doing it this way than... the full-blown route they usually take. They decided this is the route they wanted, and it would be a full closure. I meant to ask you, Brian, if you had any complaints.
I don't think
Todd,
so.
Todd, you got anything against it, or Stephen? Any problems? It should work out okay just for that short time. I'm going around by the street right there. Okay, we're going to further discussion on the request from Washington Catholic School for permission to paint a large cardinal bird on the street at the intersection Northeast 2nd and Heffern. This request came up, and Doug Hampton's representing the school.
That was just, again, one of the requests. You guys wanted to kind of see a picture, a general idea of what it was going to be. It will be a permanent thing. They will keep it, painted clean. Time to time. As far as who's doing it, they still don't have but it's not going to be the art class. That I can tell you.
We discussed this. This request has came in front of the board before, and Brian, we've all talked about it. Brian, do you got anything on this that you want
to... I think it sounds great, but... if we have to crack seal something in the intersection, it might...
We just have to make them understand that anything that happens after this, we can't... we don't know what's going to happen down the road.
If we have to do something for maintenance, they're more than welcome to go back in and paint.
And that's what they're going to have to do that probably yearly anyway.
We talked about
it is a road, so.
The paint issue. Did we talk about that once before?
I can point them in the direction of...
We talk
supplier
about
that can provide a road.
Just not your normal paint, a special paint that'll hold up. There's actually, and then this request, then we'll talk about this. They have a second request that I don't think it's on the agenda, but they do have a second request. This is the first one. We'll deal with it first. Do you have any?
I move we approve it as long as they coordinate with. Department.
Yeah,
I would second that.
Okay, David, approves it. Need a second. I agree. As long as Brian's involved in this, and we can coordinate through them, and it's a good thing. On the second request, they're asking in front of the school on the second page, kids drop-off area.
Now, in that yellow, what they sent me, they just wanted you to get an idea. That's why they separated it. 29 and 40, but they want the yellow in front of the steps also. They didn't put it in there so you'd get an idea how far they want it. But basically, and then some type of signs, which again, work out with Brian exactly, you know, what to say. But it's all about safety. It's not for looks. It's not for, you know, it's simply for safety. And then the question, again, that we need to know also, is we want these, like I said, if we have to paint them, whatever we have to do, we'll do. We have to do the signs, we'll do them, if we're allowed to. But even though it's painted yellow, if you do approve this, can we put the A-frame signs out there during bingo where it says you can't park here during bingo? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, I went and looked at it. And I'm trying to figure out how we can do that, because I know there could be times other than the student drop-off that you're going to want to use those.
Right. Well, and what they said was, if you know, we can get our own A-frame signs that will say parking permitted at this time or something to that.
I talked to Brian on this, and I happened to go there for Catholic Schools Week and do a proclamation, but I've seen that they opened one end of the each end of the barricades and let the cars come in and drop off. And they kind of got a routine. They come up and drop off and they go out. Nobody's in that area during certain times, I think.
Can you just make it during school hours?
No, because what they do is, if you say during school hours, they come at 7 o'clock and they park there and then they don't.
What time?
Oh, my God.
Huh? What time?
But that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter.
I just think it's confusing. If you just throw out an A-frame, I could go do that out in front of my house.
It's really only going to be, the A-frame will only be during bingo. There will be no school going on.
So it's
a drop-off, you know, and you know, you're WC, that it's been an issue forever, right. You know. And again, I have no problem. Never let anybody park there, but bingo does, you know. So whatever we can get, what we can, you know.
Do they not use that during church service? Parking there?
Truly, I don't know. Honestly.
Would you want it permitted then too, or?
Well, that's what I said. If they do, that's why I said if we could get our own A-frame signs and put out there parking at this time or, you know, allowed. So, you know, like I said, again, that would be up to WC to get those signs for sure, you know. You've seen the A-frame signs, you know, you can see it.
You know, the way they were doing it, the way I said it that morning, they let the cars come in. There was no cars in there. They go up, they drop the kids off, and they go out the north side of that lot. So
And the reason they're, of course, it's always safety, the reason, but what they're wanting to do is try to get all the cars to move up to where there's not one car dropping off. You can have like four or five cars dropping, and then there'll be two or three teachers out, you know, out there, you know, moving them up, saying, so. It's,
similar to what Lena Dunn had done in the past, the way they got set up down there, it's similar to that, I think, is what they're trying to do, I think. They have kind of different designated areas, and then people are supposed to pull up and drop the kids off. So, how many spots will this be?
I've got footage. I don't know how many spots.
Oh, for this whole thing here?
Right.
Okay, and not in that middle section.
No, they do want, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They did not put it there because they wanted to give you the idea of each section on the sides, but they want the yellow line, the total length of that.
So are you asking the street department to paint the yellow?
We'll do what we have to do. If we get permission to paint them, we'll paint them. If the street department will paint them, we'll be happy to let them paint them. Same way with the signs. If we have to buy the signs, but again, you know, we'll do it. We'll do what we have to do. So.
Mayor, I think we should paint it. So we have consistency in our...
Yeah, I think if we allow it, I think we should too. I mean, if we allow this, I mean, if the board cease fit, or do we...
In this area, we block off. And so...
It's not really blocked off.
It's semi-blocked. I mean, it's open, one lane's open in the mornings.
In the morning.
Correct.
It's both ends. They open up the south end, and they come forward, and they go out the north end.
And then they close it up during the day.
They close it all day long, but...
But yeah, they're changing quite a few things. Before you park to bring your preschool, kindergartens in, now that's going to be drop off also. There will be teachers out there to escort the kids in. It's not just first grade through fifth. It will be all, like I said, kindergarten, preschool. And I think they got 100 some preschoolers there. So,
makes me cry to think about
walking
off a preschooler.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So,
yeah. Oh, no, they can park by the church and bring them if they want. Okay. It's just no parking. I get it. You know, I do get it.
Mayor, I would maybe suggest, not for the sake of disapproving this, but we can't paint it right now anyway because of the weather. Maybe table it and let us research some appropriate...
Because how many signs were we looking at? Were we looking at one sign?
Well, possibly two, if possible.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if you look at the distance.
Hey, look, I looked into this once, but this is a little different than what I was thinking. When I looked at it, I thought they were just wanting to drop off area, kind of like in the front of the door, in an area maybe, you know, just that area that's not really marked right now. I thought that's what they just wanted.
But
that area,
but if you ever go, if you ever drive, just drive down there when they're letting off school next school, because you've got traffic all the way,
they're trying to get more inside
that area to open up. So you're dropping off four and five kids instead of one kid
at a time.
If you
want to go north on Second Street, right, when that,
it's not going to happen.
You can't go by the high school. That area is just really congested.
Wouldn't the signage be a little better for a time slot? Because you do have basketball games, and wouldn't that be nice parking? The thing
you have with time slots is, if you put a time slot on there, let's say it's 7:30 to
11.
Yeah. Well, so they come at 6 o'clock, and they park there, and they leave.
Well, 7:30,
they
don't come get
their car.
7:30,
they're towed.
Like I was telling, it was either today or Friday. You know, the other side's no parking. The guy pulls up there. Karen says, "Hey, you can't park there." He said, "I'll be out of here before the tow truck gets here."
But if you leave it open-ended and then you're just throwing a sign out there, I think if I go throw a sign out there by the hatch and say, "Well, go ahead and park here."
Yeah, but it's not during school hours. It'll never say parking here during school hours.
It does around Washington. That's why there's some.
Yeah.
Around the school up there, that's where that. No parking there. That's for sure.
I mean, Todd, you think about this and see what you think about it, and we'll table it. We'll bring it back. We'll put it on the next meeting.
Yeah, again, if that's what it has to be,
I just think it'd be easier.
We'll take enforcement.
That's.
If you had to.
Right. A lot of the signs that we have currently, like business only or whatever, that's just a suggestion that we're throwing out there because we don't have the ordinances to back it up to actually write those tickets. Really? So, okay, strike that. But anyway, so a lot of those are suggestions. They're be nice and don't park here unless you're with the business, but otherwise there's no ordinance in place for us to actually write the ticket.
For the ones around the school that says during school hours only, is there an enforcement there, or is that just a courtesy?
It's mainly the ones I'm talking about, like the business signs that says business parking only. They're, you know, and it depends on the ordinance. And do we have an ordinance in place that allows us to? Right now, our ordinance are very, you know, it's handicap parking, it's fire lane parking, it's, you know, those type of safety issue parking things, not necessarily hourly parking. So that's where the problem comes in. I mean, if you put one, like there's one in front of the stitching post now, that's strictly a 100%, please don't park here,
right,
except for business. We wouldn't be able to tow anybody or ticket anybody on that one. You know, So there's ones like that.
You look into it. Give us your opinion in the next for the next meeting. We'll bring this back up the next meeting on the 24th, and we'll bring it back to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda, we got open bids for the 2020 asphalt paving advertised 121 and 128 of this year.
Looks like we have two bids. One is from D&B Paving. Listed bituminous materials in the 2020 asphalt paving season. FOB HMA base 25.0 millimeter picked up from 152 South 200 West Washington, $54 per ton. HMA intermediate 19.0 millimeter, $57 per ton. FOB HMA surface 12.5 millimeter, $58 per ton. FOB HMA surface 9.5 millimeter, $59 per ton. FOB JASA High Performance Cold Mix, $110 per ton. HMA Base Paving, 25.0 millimeter asphalt base, $76 per ton. HMA Intermediate Paving, 19.0 millimeter asphalt intermediate, $78 per ton. HMA Surface Paving, 12.5 millimeter asphalt surface laid in place, no milling included, $80 per ton. HMA surface paving 9.5 millimeter asphalt surface laid in place and full street milling $111 per ton. HMA surface paving 9.5 millimeter asphalt surface laid in place and transitional milling only $140 per ton. HMA partial depth patching 25.0 millimeter asphalt base laid in place, milling up to 41 in and cleanup included. four inches in cleanup included, $48 per SYS. HMA full depth patching, 25.0 millimeter asphalt base, removal and placement of 12 inch of NDOT 53 stone and 6 inch base, $240 per SYS. HMA wedge and level, 9.5 millimeter asphalt surface laid in place, $104.50 per ton. And cold joint adhesive surface laid in place, 50 cents per LFT. Tack, liquid tack adhesive applied in place at 0.10 gallon per SYS, $3 per gallon. Okay. The other bid is from Milestone. It does contain a properly executed non-collusion affidavit, a bid bond, City of Washington Supervisor's requisition, HMA 9.5 millimeter surface with 1.5 inch milling, $143 per ton, HMA 9.5 millimeter surface with transition milling, $170 per ton, HMA 12.5 surface, $135 per ton, HMA 25 millimeter base, $240 per ton. HMA 19 millimeter intermediate, $135 per ton. AET tack coat, $3 per gallon. HMA 9.5 millimeter wedge and level, $20 SY. HMA partial depth patching, $25 SY. HMA full depth patching, $55 SY. Cold joint adhesive, $12.50 per gallon. HMA 9.5 millimeter surface, FOB, $61 per ton. Excuse me. HMA 12.5 millimeter surface, FOB, $61 per ton. HMA 25 millimeter base, FOB, $56 per ton. HMA 19 millimeter binder, FOB, $56 per ton. And cold mix, $130 per ton. That's it.
Okay. Brian, you got anything on this?
Well, there are, I know there's a lot of numbers there of different things that we asked for. There are two primary requests that are basically make up about 85% of what we're going to be doing, and that's the 9.5 mil, basically a mill and fill, mill it off 1.5 inches, replace 1.5 inches, and then the 9.5 mil overlay with transitional milling, and E&B is less expensive on both of those, and that would be the contractor that I would prefer to go with. We can take it under advisement so I can make sure that other things in the bid are met. But that means we wouldn't be making an approval until February the 24th, and I'd really like to get on the schedule as soon as we can so it's not November before we pave again.
Me and Brian did talk about this prior to the meeting, just talking about being on the schedule, and earlier the better, getting on the schedule because we'll be on the list farther up, and there was a few specs that, you know, like he's talking about that need to be met, but we'll do whatever you guys want to do. If you want to put table it, or if you want to,
we got good experience with A&B, and I'm going to go ahead and award it.
I second that.
Okay, we got a motion to approve the bid for E&B by David and second by Anita. We do have a lot of paving. I mean, well, we've got a lot of, again, like the past, we've got a lot of paving scheduled, and what we want to do, we'll see. There again, it depends on how the bids come in on the projects, how much we can do. Okay. We discussion approval of salary position changes in the electric department.
Okay. Williams requesting following salary changes. Kenneth P. Macklin, third class tree trimmer at $21.86 per hour. Primary tree trimmer at $23.83 per hour. Todd Nykum from third class tree trimmer at $21.86 per hour. To assistant primary tree trimmer at $22.81 per hour. The effective date for those changes would be February 22nd, 2020.
Okay, Randy, you got anything you want to say on this? Or
Just that pretty much since Jeff moved assistant, that opened up the primary tree trimming position. The guys have been doing the work ever since, and they're definitely qualified for it.
Wait for the change.
Okay, David makes a motion to approve it, and Nita seconds the salary position changes for both men. Okay. Next on the agenda, we got a discussion approval on a agreement with Osmose Utility Service Incorporated for pole inspection and treatment. Correct me, Randy, if this have we done this, something like this in the past, or is this the first time we've done pole inspection by a company?
Has it been years since?
I mean,
we have never had a company come in since I've been there.
Yeah, me and
we've done it ourselves, but it's needed to be.
We
this shifts the liability.
Yes. Plus, there's a lot. Yeah, I mean, there's 1,000 poles roughly to be inspected, And this is an annual contract, right?
Yes.
Yes, and...
We was trying to get that in before I left, but with all the work that was going at the sub,
yeah.
We wanted to wait till it was winding down, and it's supposed to be done this month sometime. So
we talked about this, you know, I mean, we've not really had the chance to do this, and there's a lot of those poles out there. Now, if there's any poles that has to be replaced, this company can't do it. They'll call on us, and we'll replace them. But
right.
Do we have a budget number? It's going to depend on the condition of the poles.
They kind of average $30 a pole, so roughly $30,000. But like I said, some poles aren't going to need anything, and then some poles they'll actually move dirt away from it, check below the dirt, treat them if they can be treated, you know, hopefully fix them, or at least we can schedule them to fix them before they would go on overtime or.
So something between $30,000 and $40,000.
Yeah.
And I ask, you know, make sure that money was budgeted for this, and Stacy and Randy both said it was. Is this something we have to do every year? They have to be inspected every year? I mean, just asking.
They would do the 1,000 a year, so then, you know, they would keep track of where they were at on our system and do another 1,000.
They're tagging them. I see there's a tag.
Yeah.
Tag of
how many total poles from here?
Yeah, they did an approximate of 10,000, so they're thinking 10 years.
The only question I would have is jurisdiction. It's set up to be a Georgia court.
That was the only problem I had, David. but I don't know that it's something that we can really negotiate, but we need to be aware of that, because if there were litigation, we might have to hire somebody in Georgia to represent us.
Well, I'm comfortable in that several IMEA members use the same company,
yeah,
right?
Correct. That's probably the good part about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that is a concern, but there's not very many of these companies evidently that do this around, and that's why this outfit's out of Georgia. I assume once they start, they're going to keep going until they get this done.
Yeah,
I mean,
once they get us on the schedule, they'll get gaps. There shouldn't be.
They'll
have a crew in and 2 months. Get them done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We talked about that. I think it's very important to do this, but I do have a couple of small concerns, you know, to myself. But we've never done anything. The outfit's out of Georgia, but... They are highly recommended by several places.
That's an important asset. You need to look at it.
Yeah, because it we know we got some issues with some of them probably, and we can do this year. I mean, we can see how this goes. If it turns out to be a cost that we really are not expecting, then we can always look at it again next year. And but we, you know, like 10 years, that's a 10-year stretch is a long time. But
I move we approve it.
Motion made by David to approve it.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Anita, second it. All right. Yeah, let us know how that goes, or kind of the time frame after they get, you know, like started, so we know what's happened. I think the... It wasn't this outfit. I don't think it was them. Somebody was out here on these poles. They put, they were doing something to pull out here with the thing. But we might even have to just do something public notice, let the public know about this, because they're going to see some of these guys.
And they did say that their crews were real professional, and they would knock on doors and let them know who they were and stuff also.
Because, you know, when someone see a vehicle with Georgia plates, they're going to wonder what's going on. So we'll try to work on some public notice somehow.
We can also put it on the utility bills, just a notice
that'd be a good thing. So about time to get ready to start. Okay, very good.
Mayor?
Yes?
The gentleman we're dealing with is actually down from around New Albany.
Okay.
I think this corporate is out. Corporate
okay. Okay.
They have
everyone. That's better. Okay. Okay, very good. We'll just let us know, and we'll keep tabs on that. Okay, next. Next, we got discussion approval of share the road sign placements. I want this coming from the board because I know the stop signs and stuff have to come in front of the board, but these being these, this came in front of the board before the first year when I wasn't in office because I was out there in the audience. I heard bring this, and Nathan Gephardt's wife came in, and we approved these signs and doing this program, which I have no problem with. I just wanted the request for the placements of them. I wanted to bring in front of the board, talk about it. There's another poll. I was a little concerned about where they're going, location, because there's another possible pole in the ground in front of someone's yard. We do have right-of-ways, but, you know, I mean, that won't matter. A lot of times they'll call in because there's another pole, another sign in front of their house. I wondered if, I was going to ask Brian on this, if it's all, in some locations, if we're close to where we're putting this and there's another sign or something else, can we attach these? They have to be separate?
Inside the city limit, there's a minimum distance from the ground to the bottom of the sign so people don't cut their head open on it.
Right, right. Yeah. I didn't really think about that, depending on. But, I mean, that's just something we got to be aware of. I just was, I wanted to bring it from the board so we know what's going on.
And they coordinated with you on these locations?
That's came from yeah, that Brian came from coordination, that list.
I'll make a motion to approve the locations. I just want to make sure this board was aware of this.
I'll second that.
And David will second it. And on another issue, a discussion of three-way stop on the corner of Benninger Lane and Viola Avenue, which is my neck of the woods. I wasn't aware of these signs going up originally, and I asked Brian about them, and I've been out there for 30, well, I've been out there all my life, but 34 years I lived on Benninger, but there was never a sign on this corner. There's a three-way stop sign. They did put some signs down the bottom of the hill saying, you're showing there's a stop sign ahead. Crest that hill on Viola, I was a little concerned at first, so we crossed it. I'm not sure how much distance there is from the top of that hill to that stop sign, but on most days it would be bad weather, it might be a problem, but it's always been a problem. But I did call and talk to several homeowners, and one didn't really care so much. It didn't really have a one way or another, but two out of the three that live right there on that corner liked the idea of having that three-way stop. I haven't got, since I wasn't aware of this, I haven't got no feedback from it. I haven't got no calls on it since they've been put up. But I did, there is an ordinance that we have that says they have to go, stop signs have to go in front of this board and get approved. So that's why I brought it to the board tonight to get approval and talk about this for a second. like I say, the neighbor right there on the corner, Mr. Williams, I called him today, and he actually has security cameras, video cameras that he videos this corner. And he says, told me today, there's about 250 cars that come through there daily. I knew there's a lot of cars, but I didn't realize there was 250 a day. But he's got the equipment that he said he was monitoring this. He likes it. The police at one time didn't know about it at the first because they wasn't aware to, to, you know, keep a little eye on this corner. I've started watching it there for a little bit. This happened about the 17th of January. But I watched a little bit from the house, and at first I started seeing people wasn't paying no attention to them because they just kept going around the corner just like they always did. I had a school bus driver call me, and he wasn't aware of the signs at first. But it's one of those things that's never been that way, but it's going to take a little time for people to get used to them because everybody's used to going to the sports complex, and so they're not used to having a stop sign.
How was it before? Any stop signs at all?
No.
None at all on any of them?
I really like the one coming from the north. That's a dead end, but it's coming to the north. And this lady, this girl does have a business. She runs out her house, a grooming business for dogs. And I like that one. It was never nothing there. But I really thought I might get some feedback from this. But I've been very lucky. But going that way now, it's just something to get used to if we decide that we want to leave them there.
Can I? What prompted us to put those there? because I don't remember. I mean, we don't usually. We usually will start putting in stop signs if there's accidents at the, you know, at that
intersection. That has been no complaints.
It's pretty well a curve.
I got in here the first year, of course, and the 17th I was told that it was there, so I had to drive up there just to make sure. There they were, you know, and I was caught off guard, and so I'm not used to them being there. But after all these years, I've been out there, but.
I was kind of surprised we didn't just do the north and leave the other one uncontrolled, but I'm sure
you know, like I said, we didn't really know how this all, so I wanted to bring it to the board to discuss it.
There has been one on the north before the other two. I'm not sure how the timing was, but there was one on the north.
There is a, you know, there's a dead-end sign on the other side of the street that says, dead end going that way, but I just want to see what you thought. I don't know. I had one neighbor that liked to see him pull, but the other two really didn't
disappear.
So I don't know. I thought I really haven't, been able to figure out how I feel about it. Going to the from south to north, I thought maybe that was a good one to have there. And the cars coming around the other way would be free. But
do we have any rationale for putting them in there?
Last year when it was brought up to the board to put the no big truck signs on Viola, primarily for Indiana safety, and then going down and turning on to Biddinger, and then trying to get out on 6th Street and driving through people's yards. Mm-hmm. After a long discussion with Mayor Wellman, and some research in the manual on uniform traffic control devices, it was determined that that intersection technically required one all along, because that's technically not a dead end, it's a through street. It dead ends into someone's driveway, but at that intersection, Biddinger is a through street, it's not a dead end.
True.
Requiring one at minimum on Viola. And in 2019, I think we got 6 complaints of people almost being hit. The traffic has upticked a little bit with the grooming business. People coming in and out of there, people are used to just turning on Viola with impunity, and several people have almost been hit by someone turning on the Viola.
With no sign there, you come up over there, there's a lot of people who's used to cutting that corner sharp and just come on around that corner a lot over the years. I mean, I've seen a lot of them just come on around. If you're coming to from south going north, you could, if you're not paying attention, you could...
Mayor Wellman told me that if it was supposed to have already been there, according to the traffic control devices manual, it's cleared up.
I think whatever you decide, I think we just leave them there. The public will get used to it. There's no doubt about it. A lot of people have mixed feelings. Most of them pretty good of it. I haven't had no calls, but
it's been almost a month.
It's been almost a month. So we can try it. And if we get a bunch of calls and we start getting problems, then I guess we can readdress it. But if they do what they're supposed to do, it could be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm moving to leave there for now.
Motion made by David and second by Anita that we leave the signs in place. But I did want, since we do have the ordinance in place, I did want to bring it officially. I didn't remember being on the council before, so I want to make sure we officially brought it to the council. Okay. The last item I believe we got a discussion approval on agreement with Baker Tilly, municipal advisors in Bolton, Kenny, and Evans for a review of documents affiliated with the Jamestown Square project. As yeah, you got anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, just. Obviously the large amount of the bond issue that's being involved here, and the fact that the city is a conduit, I guess is the language that they use. Obviously, this isn't the kind of legal matter that I spend a lot of time on in my daily practice. And we thought it's a good idea to get both McKinney and Baker Tilly involved in reviewing these documents for us. They're already involved in doing it, and they've been very helpful. So I think it's
Yeah, they did have that in the clause that they have to pay for the legal fees. So, Beth, we talked about it. We talked to Tim. We had a lot of discussion on this. We thought it was good for the city to have these people look at these and say it's okay before I sign these papers, because we want to make sure that the city's not liable for nothing. Mm-hmm.
I move with approval.
I'll second that. David approves these documents be approved, and I'll second it. And I guess maybe I messed up on the first time. I do have one more thing on the agenda, discussion approval of the write-offs for the utilities, I guess. So I had wrote it on here. I guess with that, it should have came from this body.
We did, yeah.
Did we do it earlier? Okay, somebody wrote it on the bottom of my page. And,
yeah, we did it at number six.
Okay, we're good. Mm-hmm. I thought we did, but I didn't think it was on there, but someone wrote it again, so I thought maybe we got messed up.
Do it again.
Yeah. We don't need any more write-offs. Okay, well, hear anything? Anybody from the audience got anything for the board? Public Works? Hearing nothing, I'll call this meeting adjourned.
Did you say Drew was going to work on the website stuff?
Well, I'm going to check it. I just said changes already, but I'm going to check it. It's going to be some changes.
Yeah, I need to. Employees change and then put money in place.
I'll make sure you keep it. I'll make sure you keep it.
The flushing schedule on there.
I'm going to go to the hospital.